Mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these things only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even though as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these things that you have sent me, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love of which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here, and we thank you for this prayer in John 17. And we thank you that in these words we can see your heart and the heart that you have for your people here at PGMBC. And I just pray that as I continue to speak, that you would speak through me and that this prayer would be a reality for all of us here today. I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. This one's a doozy. Just give me a quick moment. Happy Valentine's Day, guys. And in honor of the Hallmark Day, I'm going to tell you guys a little story. When I was living at Trinity Western, I was living in the dorms. I had this tradition I did for the last 3 years on Valentine's Day. So what I would do is that I would invite about 25 to 30 women in the apartment I was living in. And I would have them over in this kind of large common room that in the apartment building. And I would cook for them. I would cook them a pot roast, some quinoa, and strawberry mousse. And I would conscript some of the guys in the dorms to, like, you know, we're going to serve the women in the building. And on top of that, we would have a night of food. The women get to socialize. And it was a good, grand old time. On top of that, I'd, you know, throw in some Hershey kisses and a rose and handwritten notes. You can imagine the carpal tunnel after writing 25 handwritten notes. And this was something I did for a couple of years. And there was something that, I look back on it because I'm not doing it this year because I don't live there now. I reflect on why did I do this strange tradition that I had, giving flowers and cooking for the women in the building. And I realized that pretty much all these women had something in common. All of them wanted to feel special on Valentine's Day instead of being reminded that they were probably going to spend it alone while most of their friends would be out with their boyfriends. And this is where we get this odd term of Valentine's Day's alternate name, Singles Awareness Day, or SAD. And these women were very vocal about it. And they would talk about how, I'm not doing anything on Valentine's Day. I've even bought, you know, my nice Haagen-Dazs, and the mortified look I'd have, and also the question in the back of my mind of, why are you telling me this? But as they would tell me this, I guess it's one of those read in between the lines, fellas, that they were speaking about something in their hearts, that an inner desire in their hearts. And as I listened to this, this is where I sparked up this idea of, you know, I'm going to do something nice for them on Valentine's Day. And so with that, I kind of think prayer operates in a similar fashion, that prayer reveals those things in our hearts, our deepest emotional desires and things that are really, the things we think about the most are reflected in our prayers. And reading in John 17 is a unique passage. It's probably one of the most confusing ones to read as a piece of text. But here, it is the only fully recorded prayer of Jesus given in Scripture. And what makes this passage profound is that Jesus' prayer reveals the heart of God. As I said earlier, prayers often communicate what is going on in the hearts of the person who is praying. Take the book of Psalms, and particularly think of the Psalms of David, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 51. All these written by the same guy, but they all reflect certain situations in his life and his heart in those moments. In Psalm 22, he cries out because he feels abandoned, and that is reflected in his words. But yet, in Psalm 23, he speaks of how he fully trusts in God because he knows God is his shepherd. And each psalm is a sermon on its own, so we're going to leave that alone for now. Now, I'm making a pretty bold statement in saying that we can see into God's heart as Jesus prays. This is displayed, I like to think this is displayed in the close communication between the Son and the Father. As I mentioned earlier, this passage can be very confusing because, you know, in the language, this is all this, I glorify you and you glorify me, I and them and you and me and them and us, and this kind of back and forth and all over the place as Jesus kind of says, you know, this unity thing. And I will speak a bit more on that. And in this confusing text, Jesus is establishing their hearts, as in him and the Father, ultimately desire the same thing. If you read in chapter 14, verse 7, the disciples are asking, well, how will we know, you know, the will of God when you're gone? As Jesus says, you know, I'm going to be leaving you guys, and but don't worry. God is still with you, and I'm going to a place and prepare a place for you. And the disciples are like, well, how will we know where you're going? How will we know how to get to where you're going? How can we be with you? And Jesus says, you know me, so you know, you've seen me, and so you've seen the Father. And this kind of almost interchangeable relationship that the Son has with the Father, that you see one and you see the other automatically kind of thing. And so with that logic, I was thinking, okay, so in John 17, where we have Jesus' full recorded prayer in Scripture, since, you know, Jesus says, I and you and me with the Father, then since we can see the heart of Jesus, then we can also see the heart of the Father. And then from there, we see the heart of God in this prayer. See what I did there? So the first thing we learn is that God wants to make his glory known in the world. It's how Jesus opens up the prayer in verse 1 and asks the Father to glorify him so that the Father can be glorified. This is done by Jesus making the Father known by all who have listened and believed in his words, as said in verses 6 to 8. In Jesus' prayer, this understanding given to the disciples brings glory to the Father, which is the desire of Jesus' heart. Jesus' prayer reveals the heart of God to be one that outpours glory on those he loves, as is established between the Father and the Son. Jesus prays further so that the heart of God reveals more than just this abstract idea, the glorification of God, but rather making that glory manifest in tangible and measurable ways. Jesus' prayer reveals the heart of God is about love for others. And in this case, the disciples amongst one another, human beings with human beings. And human beings, as we see love in Christian communities and in this church, there's a measurable way of seeing the glory of God manifest. And we here are seeing the fulfillment of the desires of God's heart. The second thing we learn is that Jesus' prayer reveals God's heart by praying for the protection of his disciples. In verse 9, Jesus states that he prays on behalf of the disciples because he knows that they're not strong enough to carry out God's desires on their own. But this protection that Jesus prays over them is so that God will give them the strength to be faithful in a world that is going to hate them because of their belief in Jesus. Knowing this, Jesus prays for the disciples' protection because the disciples, by accepting Jesus, are no longer part of the world that is against God. Jesus' prayer reveals that the heart of God cares for life and the well-being of his people. But instead of just simply taking the disciples out of the world and not giving them any troubles and, you know, everything sunshine, lollipops, instead, the disciples are in the world, but God does not abandon them. And that's, you know, in our Christian lingo, we say this is why the Spirit has come, is so that we are not left alone to carry the words of Jesus, but the Spirit edifies and continues to instruct us on what Jesus has said and what Jesus has taught the disciples, which is carried through for the last two millennia to us today. The third thing we learn in this prayer is that Jesus' prayer reveals God's heart in that he desires growth in his followers by praying for sanctification of the disciples. Now, this one's a bit of a doozy, because to explain verses 17 and 19, these are easily like multiple sermons on their own. But to make the definition of sanctification simpler, maybe, this is my shot at it. The definition of sanctification is the changing in our lives that allows us to live up to God's perfect standards, whether it's through reading the Old Testament and the Levitical law, as well as the stuff that Jesus said throughout his ministry and things like the Beatitudes and many of his parables, and kind of revealing this perfect standard God has. And as we try to understand, and as we pray and seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, we are led to be able to live closer to this perfect standard, which then is perfected in the coming of the kingdom in Christ's second coming. And I hope that was a decent definition of sanctification, because that one's a doozy. And with that, living up to this perfect standard after we've been justified, another word in our Christian language that has a loaded meaning, but justified would mean that, in simplest terms, we are made right with God by the forgiveness and removal of sin. Now, without lingering too long on this, the heart of God wants us to be molded to his perfect standard, which is what Jesus did perfectly while he was on earth, and desires the same for us. Of course, I acknowledge that sanctification is this lifelong process, but Jesus' prayer reveals that the heart of God is reaching for our sanctification as an extension of God's love for us. The fourth thing we learn is that Jesus' prayer reveals God's heart by praying for the ever-expanding family of God's people, as Jesus prays for future followers. And in this, as we read through John 17, it starts with, you know, Jesus praying for his disciples, the 12 that were there, probably a few other disciples that he had that were following him during the time. But then he extends it by saying, well, those who will believe in me from the words of my disciples, the future followers, aka us. We say that we can never fully know how much God loves us as he prays for his disciples and the future followers. But what if I told you that in God's infinite love, this infinite love is still expanding? As the family of God expands, as each of us come to Christ, it's not like he has to redistribute his love. We got a new believer. Michael is now entered, the family of God. I have to redistribute all the love I've given to everyone else and give some to him too. No, this isn't the case. God, his love expands, and there's this new kind of a whole new infinite love just generated, expanded, as more people come to know Jesus. And this is God's heart. This is part of God's heart of wanting to expand his love by the growth of people who come to know him. And as Jesus' prayer for future believer reveals the heart of God is one that is always expanding in love. Jesus' prayer reveals the heart of God as loving others, which is his glory that has been revealed through the person of Jesus Christ. So how can we not thank Jesus for praying this incredible prayer? To be included in the desires of God's heart and share in the blessings of Jesus' prayer that he prayed 2,000 years ago, and here's the only fully recorded one we have. But here Jesus reveals his heart to us. And this is only displayed further as he goes to the cross and died for our sins. So that all the stuff he prayed about here, the glorification of God, the protection of the disciples, our increasingly ability to live up to what God has called us to, and of course, the prayer for the ever-expanding family of God in us. This has become a reality. And in this love that makes Jesus go through with the humiliating death on the cross, there the glory of God and the heart of God is expressed in his love. This is a big deal, because Jesus prays for the disciples to live faithfully so that the glory of God can be displayed by everyday people like us. And Jesus' prayer reveals the heart of God, and through these words, we can take a glimpse of it. Although we cannot know everything that God desires, this prayer, I believe, gives us a pretty good idea of the desires of God's heart. It is in prayer that God's heart is revealed to first Jesus' disciples, which then is carried on through history to us today. In Christ's death and resurrection, this prayer is made possible for us to live in our lives. As first we can pray that God would empower us to live up to his standards. And we can be sanctified in truth because Jesus, who was the Word, made God's words known to us in Scripture. This is verse 17, 19, and 26. And this allows us to love one another, which unifies us as we live united in Christ. The world will see God's glory, which will draw people to believe in him as he desires. In a sense, Jesus desires us to be instruments of making this glory manifest and reveal to the world the heart of God. This is the prayer of which Jesus, which we have in our lives, has revealed to us to live out. Yesterday I went to a wedding, and a buddy of mine, he was getting married, and the text they used was from 1 John chapter 4, verse, I think it's 16 and 17. And as I was listening to this, it just kind of brought, what John is saying in this letter is that as we grow as the church community, the prayer that Jesus prayed for us is, this is the reality of it, and it's continuing to grow. And I'm just going to read that for you. So we have come to no end to believe the love that God has for us. For God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may be confident for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. And it goes on to say that in God's love, there's no fear, there's confidence in the persecution that the future may bring. And here, John understands that prayer in John 17. And the insight of seeing the heart of God as one that that gives love to his people, regardless of who they were. God loves us despite who we are. But it is also true that as Jesus loves us, we can be transformed to be who God has called us to be. And that is what Jesus is ultimately expressing. He wants us to be unified with him as he has his perfect relationship with the Father. And this is something that now we have access to because of him sacrificing his life for the pardon of our sins. This is the prayer which reveals the heart of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us that it's unfathomable of how much you loved us and that you are willing to give your Son to us and to die for our sins when we clearly did not deserve it. But in Jesus' prayer, we see that you desire us to be with you and that Christ had made this possible. And so by the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we are saved, and that this relationship you desire is made possible. I just pray that as we head up, that we leave from this place, and you would imprint this word into our hearts, and that this would guide us in everything we do, and that this would also give us the full confidence of knowing your heart and pursuing your heart. And as I referred to David a little bit earlier with his Psalms, it is there that as we read the Psalms that we see a man who is after your heart, and I pray that you give us that same sort of passion because that is the desire of your heart. And I just pray that you would line us up with your desire so that we can live in a way that makes your glory manifest. And I just pray that as we head out from this place, that everything we do would be something that brings glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, amen.